Good morning again to all. I noticed someone just came in. Who just joined us?
Good morning, guys. How is everybody doing?
Hi, Bree. How are you doing?
Morning.
Good, good. All right. Again, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is and is to come. This morning, we are blessed that the Lord's allowed us to arise to see another Sabbath day, and I greet you all in that spirit. If we have folks who've joined us who would prefer to be anonymous, that's fine. We greet you in the spirit of love, and we welcome you to the call this morning. Again, our text comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 1 through 7, and the title is, Who Made You God? Deaconess Freeman, if you will lead us in prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Thank you, O Father, for this day that you have created, and we shall rejoice. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being a good shepherd, feeding us, loving us, giving us your life, giving up your life for intimate, everlasting fellowship with you, our Creator. Thank you, Father, for listening to our hearts as our most private and personal thoughts with you.
Yes, Lord.
By every thought, our every desire, and our every emotion. Know when we are harboring grudges, doubts, malice, lust, impatience, or greed. But Hebrews 4:13 tells us that it's impossible to have anything. Father, thank you for listening to whatever we bring before you, for always considering our hearts and see when we are being self-centered and taking things that are contrary to your word, and when we ignore the needs of others. When we are unable to express our words or thoughts, let us remember Romans 8:26-27. It tells us that the very moment we get tired in the waiting, that your Holy Spirit is right along helping us. We don't know how or what to pray. Your Holy Spirit does the praying for us.
Yes.
We can pray out of our wordless problems and our wonders.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit knows us far better than we know ourselves, Father. That's about vision. Keep us presence before, keep our presence before you. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives, love, is worth it. Always work out everything to your glory, Father, and we give you honor and praise for that.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you more this morning, Father, for Bishop, that you gave the word of God Church. Thank you for being our leader. Pray that he continue his steadfast walk with you, Father, and that you continue to use him as he grows closer in faith, maturity, and love. We ask that you continue to bless him and allow him to grow in wisdom and knowledge. Bless his family, Father, that they too be recipient of blessing. Pray for his wife who shares love for you, Father, and fill her with you. We pray for the Word of God Church and reach you the truth. Pray that all those for all those who are feeling lonely, hopeless, like lost, and abandoned this morning. Ask that you help them find peace. Pray, Father, for the sermon exposing any plans of the enemy against our church.
Mm-hmm.
All we ask is to make us more sensitive conscious to you and to give us both humility and boldness. First, be merciful and endurance, be faithful to those in our life as you are with the Father. Lord Jesus, pray for the men and women in military. Bless them with your presence. Ask you to send your angels from all corners of the world to give them your presence. About their duties. Pray for those who are wounded in battle and those who even paid the ultimate sacrifice. I would ask you to continue to guide us, carry us, and give you glory and honor as our Lord and Savior, and we thank you for your joy and for your peace. The world cannot give, nor can it take away. Thank you, Father, for changing, renewing, and making us whole through your love and your grace. This is in the name of the one true and everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that pray this morning. Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Again, we thank you and God bless you for your service and your faithfulness. This morning, I'm going to attempt by the power of the Holy Spirit to talk to you about a subject that is actually, it's been 3 weeks that God has directed me to other sermons, but this one I had already prepared to deal with 3 weeks ago. And by his mercy and grace today, we'll deal with it. But before I get started on that, I want to direct you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Normally, I have to rely on Sister Mimi to make sure that I get it right, so I turn there this morning to make sure that I have it. And I bring this to your attention because the necessity for us to do this is going to increase as we go through what I call a tsunami. Hebrews 10:24 reads, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see those days drawing near or nigh." I bring it to your attention to remind you that it is the mission of the enemy to keep us from assembling ourselves together. Amen?
Amen.
And if he does that, then you cannot edify one another. Let me give you an example. I have made an attempt to reach a member this morning, and I was unable to, and I also had a note that another member, that when they arrived here, I needed something help with. And it reminded me that God's word is accurate and true. You cannot edify anyone if you are not in a position to edify them. And when you don't do that, then you give place to the devil. And so again, I remind you and caution you and encourage you that you follow Hebrews 10:24 and 25. For it wasn't written just to be written. It was written because it had a meaning to it. And it was written as an admonition to us that we must not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as some have gotten in a habit of doing, because when we do that, we cannot encourage one another. We cannot lift each other up. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
And so we're not in, this is not a political game. I'm soaking wet already. This is not a political game. By the way, our air conditioner went out, so I'll make this as short as I can before I start bursting out, sweating all over the place. So I want to keep reminding you that don't let the devil control your activities.
Amen.
Saturday is a day of preparation for Sunday. And so you got to ask yourself the question, did something happen yesterday that caused me to assemble myself today? And that's between you and God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, this morning I want to talk to you about who made you guide, being that only God and his son can judge. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. I heard someone come in. Was that Dee?
Yes, it was. I'm sorry.
Great. That's all right. No, that's not the purpose. I just want to make sure you're with us. God bless you.
Good morning.
You're welcome.
Morning, Dee. Hello.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6 reads as follows, and I'll be reading it to you out of two translations. I will drift down into further parts of Matthew chapter 7, for there are some points that I want to cover with you. In fact, I want to remind you that Matthew chapter 7 is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon that our Lord Jesus gave us that explains what we who are in the kingdom of God must be about. Amen?
Amen.
And so I encourage you to often to go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 so that you get the clarity as to what the Lord is teaching us to do. This morning, we're going to talk about judging. And when we finish, it is my fervent prayer that God will allow us to now know just how significant it is to sit in judgment over a fellow brother or others. You see, man's desire is to control people by being judge over them. Y'all might say, man. You know, I find that, you know, man has a lot of despicable things about him, but this one is one that sets themselves up as God. And it's not always with their words. Sometimes it's with their expressions. You ever notice that some people just roll their eyes up and, you know, to say, what's this dummy doing? And sometimes it's because of one person's value system over another. You see, when we finish this sermon today, it is hopeful that you'll understand that God sits in judgment and his son will judge the living and the dead, not you or I. And so he's given us guidance this morning as to what it is that we should do when it comes to judgment. And I dare submit that we're all guilty of it because we all are human. We all got our own view of what is happening when in turn we should be thinking what Christ thought. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
When we think as Christ thinks, then we know that we have not time to judge others. It's too much to judge our own self. And so if you follow along with me from the NIV, it says, do not judge, starting at verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. Right off the bat, you get a warning. When you judge others, you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all along the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, or do not throw your pearls to pigs. And King James, I think, says to swines. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. There are quite a bit of warnings and admonitions in this text. So let me read it to you from the Message Bible. It says, don't pick on people. That's getting to the point. You know, when we all grew up, we had bullies at school that picked on people and talked about their clothes. When I was a child, it was my flat head. They'd walk around, smack me on the back of the head, and call me flathead. And I'd go to the barbershop I had to go to was Father Divine's, for those who have been around a while. And all you had to do was walk in that barbershop and say, peace. And they'd cut your hair for a quarter. See how we done got away from what things could happen? You see, you didn't have to have a whole lot of money. You just had to have the greeting of peace. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But when you left the barbershop, everybody knew you had a peace haircut. And so when you got to school, they judge you and they laughed at you and say, oh, Cuff got a peace haircut. And so I went back in my reflection as I read this text and saw how easy it is to judge people, even when you're young. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. I got to stop there. You know, I've been watching with great anticipation these, and by the way, I limit myself because other than that, it runs my blood pressure up. I can't watch too much of this political drama that's going on. But I do find that it is funny how when one judges the other, it has a tendency to come back on them quick. You know, we know all about Jeremiah Wright and Father Fleming's. But now we got John Hagee and Rick Parson for John McCain. You see, the Bible is real accurate, isn't it?
Amen.
It says the same way you judge others, it'll come back on you. The same thing you accuse your brother of, if you don't watch it, the Bible says you and I are guilty of doing the same thing. And that's one of the reasons why we can't sit in judgment on anyone. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That critical spirit, verse 2 says, has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smote in your brother's, in your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly snare on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face, when your own face is distorted by a contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Come on with me. Wipe that ugly snur out of your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. I like that. I really like that. Don't worry about my face. Wash your own face. Don't be flipped with this with the sacred. Batter and silliness gave no honor to God. Don't reduce the holy mysteries to slogans and trying to be relevant. You're only being cute and inviting scandalous. I might have mispronounced that, but we're going to let it go with that. Listen to me. There is clear guidance in this text that what we need to do is mind our own business and worry about what we're doing wrong. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, one of the things I have learned in, you know, in the Bible, and we'll cover some of this, it talks about testing spirits. One test of a spirit is when you got somebody who got something to say about somebody else, particularly in the church. And church folk are the ones that's most guilty of this, because they're going to tell you what you don't know and what they know, instead of everybody just worrying about how we look in front of God and his son Jesus, and not be worried about how we look before man. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This book of Matthew, chapter 7, of course, 5, 6, and 7, we must take heed to all. But chapter 7 deals again with the do not judge. And this is a warning which it's marked in three sections of Jesus' guidelines for the kingdom seekers. And that's important that we realize that this sermon is for those who want to live in the kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It is directed at those who see the kingdom to be the right way that we exalt and the way we operate and the way we move in the fellowship. And the way we look at our brothers. First, there's a warning that deals with seeking approval of man rather than God. And second, the warning deals with having concern for the goods in the world rather than abandoning such concerns to seek the kingdom and righteousness. You know, this one, all these are very profound. Most people are worried about their money.
Amen.
And their possessions. And that's why I read to you about Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Don't let this world block you from the kingdom.
Amen.
Don't chase this junk down here, which you're not going to take with you when you stand before the throne. Oh, come on, somebody. Because you will stand before him. You might think you're getting away with something, but I'm stopping by to tell you that we have been warned, we've been foretold, do not put your trust in money or mammoth or things. And so we must understand that in the kingdom, there is no earthly treasures.
Amen.
Our treasures are stored up for us in heaven, and that's why we are cautioned. Put your mind on things above where thieves and robbers can't break in and rust can't break it down moss can't eat up your clothes.
Amen.
Keep this thought. Where your treasure is there also is your heart. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The third warning deals with the relationship with the kingdom. And this warning is a vital one. In the human society, we always go by setting a pecking order. We try to settle questions on who has control or influence over another. I don't know if any of y'all watched this circus yesterday, and it was indeed a circus, but it was clear that some were sitting in judgment over others, and they couldn't control their emotions or be professional. They just had to break down because they're trying to influence an outcome that only God has the authority and power to determine. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You can act crazy and say you for whoever, whatever, however, but I stop by to tell you that the Lord will determine who sits on Pennsylvania Avenue come whatever day it is in January.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so there's no sense, like the word tells us, having anxieties and excitement and cussing on TV about who got what and who took what from what. It is clear to me that in our society that the ways of the Lord are minimal because our focus is on things in this kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This does not exclude itself from the church history. I had a conversation with my daughter-in-law, Bree, last evening or the evening before, and she was asking me a question about the Catholic Church. And I don't remember the genesis of the question, but the bottom line was that there are certain things that go on that you and I need to understand that they were put into place to control people and put a judgment over people. I don't remember if it was Nero, and hopefully Breed and studied that when he decided to make the Roman Empire under Christianity, he didn't do it with the teachings of Jesus. He did it with his intentions involved. He didn't do it to be obedient to Christ. He did it to control people, and it's worked to a degree. We had 2,000 priests in this country who molested children, and a church covenant by paying $6 billion. You see, church history plays a big part in blocking us from the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, the church, we elevate it based upon what we can see and distort the truth of God's word in acceptance of a lie. The scriptures tells us in these last days, we'll accept the lie over the truth. Y'all come on with me now.
Amen.
We will watch a lie and accept that more than the truth. We do it every day in our churches. We have these ministers that prop up and the TV, which is the devil's tool, takes full advantage to make them look like baffoons. Oh, y'all come on with me. And you and I must keep on full armor to know that this is what the devil does. His mission is to destroy us and to make God's people look like fools. I stop by to tell you that Jesus has given us clear guidance how we are to conduct ourselves. And every time we step outside of the realm of the teachings, we end up in trouble. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, if preachers would preach the gospel and lead the politicians to the devil, they'd be better off. But you see, the Bible says that there are many false prophets among us. This text lays it out. It clearly says in verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. You will know them by their what? By their fruits. You see, if you stay in God's word and preach the gospel, simple, plain, and true, you will never have a problem. For the Bible says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth.
Amen.
Matthew's the 28th chapter. And so all we have to do is be faithful to our Lord and stop trying to be big-time politicians. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, returning to our text for this morning, we must understand that everything we do should be doing for the uplifting of the kingdom. And we have to abandon all claims to the right to judge. Do not judge, Jesus teaches, for all the time he destroyed the pretension of anyone who seek to exalt himself over others in the kingdom. Our text is clear about that this morning, that you and I are not to sit in judgment over people.
Amen.
Instead, Jesus taught an attitude that of humility and servanthood. You need to write that down. You and I should be humble and have the attitude of a servant. And we are to ask, Jesus said, commanding us to take the position not of a judge, but of a supplicant. We are to approach life in the kingdom with a deep sense of our need for God's good gifts. Can I get a witness? You see, when we set ourselves up as a small God, we have no humility and no humbleness about us. And I stop by to tell you that that's not within the realm of what the teachings of our Lord is. What is more, the bowing down to God, we also bow down to our brothers. We commit ourselves not to judge them, but to serve them. Can I get a witness? And we must understand this today. We are not serving each other when we sit in judgment over each other. And we're not serving each other when we don't follow the teachings of Jesus. I had my mouth set on a nice cup of coffee this morning, and I didn't get that because I don't have my coffee pot's broken, but I was dependent on getting somebody to bring me some. Listen at me. That's a minor point, but it deals with the deeper problem. If you do not serve others, you are doing nothing of value in the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all might say amen.
Amen.
You see, we have to serve each other. We do that by following the teachings of Jesus. In everything, do what is beneficial to others. You know the golden rule. It's in our text today. It's in this chapter. Verse 12 says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. There is no way we can get away with doing our own thing. And so this morning I will attempt to give you clarity about this matter of judgment. You see, it is not our place to judge. And there are some instances where one might say, well, wait a minute, I thought I read such and such. Well, I hopefully will clear up all possibilities for sitting in judgment. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 34, which I won't read, but says, the righteousness of the kingdom is to respect man's relationship to God. And if we keep our focus strictly on God and all that we say and do, we will not sit in judgment on one another. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll examine this righteousness of the kingdom in respect to man's relationship to man, which is what our text is dealing with. In this chapter 7, there are three things that are discussed of significance. One is judging others. verse 7 through 1 through 6. Asking, seeking, and knocking, verse 7 through 11. And the golden rule, verse 12. I want to deal specifically with this matter about judging, that we're forbidden in all cases from judging. But we need to have examples and clarity on this because there is some points where we do judge. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that we need to understand that we cannot be at fault ourselves and then turn that gun on someone else. You need to take a note on that is that, you see, we can't have constructive criticism for someone else when we're guilty of doing the same thing. We're told to get that log out of our own eye, and then we'll see clearly how we can help our brother. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Another example is exercising discipline in the church. You see, exercising discipline of any sort does require judging others as the moral and spiritual condition of a man. And we do have clarity as to what we can judge and what we can't judge. Let me clear it up real quick. We have to sit in moral and spiritual judgment on those who are within the body of Word of God Church. I specifically bring it down because the scriptures bear witness to your local church. And this for all who are on this call, excluding anyone that might be visiting us, that we must always be on guard to watch that none of us slide backwards. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And that requires you to have a judgment. But it does not require you to approach each other without this element of brotherly love. You see, a lot of people have a tendency to sit in judgment on others in church and do it in a terrible and ungodly way. By making statements like, what kind of preacher are you? And this and that, and buck, 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 buck. You and I must take this charge that we have extremely serious. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Jesus cannot be overruled in this matter. We all must be careful how we approach people when we sit in judgment, even inside the house of faith. Proper judgment must be made. Matthew 7, verse 6 again says, it implies that some judgment is to be made as to who are dogs and who are hogs. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ain't that the truth? See, church, you and I, we have to be careful who we approach with God's word.
Amen.
You know, I recall a lady in this community, in fact, not too far from where we live. There were Christians that invited a man in their house because they were trying to be good Christians. And what did he do? He killed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's in this neighborhood. And so you and I have been given a discerning spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We've been given the teachings of Jesus that gives us that discerning spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to watch that we don't give what is holy to dogs or swines. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20 implies that we must make judgments to determine who is a false prophet. And we know them by their fruits. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so it's clear that there's times in our walk that we sit in judgment on people. And so the text is in no way saying that you cannot judge people. You see, one occasion, Jesus taught people to judge with righteous judgment, and that's in John chapter 7, verse 24. It says, stop judging by mere appearance and make a righteous judgment. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, Christians have a responsibility to judge those who are inside the local church and local congregation. That's because you and I are to always watch each other's back.
Amen.
And how you do that is always look after each other's best interest. And that's why we're told we are to edify one another. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or the swindlers, or the idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, or in other words, a Christian, but is sexually immoral, greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Did you get that? That's talking about believers inside a Word of God church or any church congregation. And so we don't sit in judgment on the world, but if we got a drunkard, if we got a whoremonger, if we got a greedy idolater or a slanderer in our own midst, We are to shun them. And you ask yourself, when the last time you seen anybody shunned in anybody's church? Y'all come on with me. When the last time you saw somebody follow the mandates of the scripture that two must go and witness to a person, and then when they still out there doing their thing, then the third person, then you take it before the church. And then the church will put them on a back pew or shun them. You see, the reason why you don't see it is because we're not following the teachings. Verse 12 says, what business is it of mine to judge those on the outside of the church? Are you not judging those outside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked from among you. And so, church, we have a responsibility to sit and watch out of a loving spirit for the spiritual well-being of each member inside a Word of God church. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We're taught to test spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Let me stop there. Did y'all hear that? Do not believe every spirit. Everybody who walk around saying they belong to the Lord ain't his. Go back to our text today. Verse 21 of Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so we must look the same way our Lord and Savior looked at this matter of judgment. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
There is a contradiction here. For as we continue in our text, we notice that Jesus explains what kind of judgment is condemning. Judging when one is blind to his or her faults. You need to take a note on it. When you and I are not conscious of our own shortcomings, but we always got something to say about somebody else's shortcomings. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Verse 3 through 5 deals with it. Jesus is saying that it is wrong for anyone to concentrate his attention on the speck in his brother's eye while they occupy or have ignorance in the beam in their own eye. Paul taught the necessity of proper introspection when trying to help others. Listen to me. We must look inwardly. Galatians 1 and 6 gives it to us. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Did you hear that? You and I must always look in perspective. You know what I have learned to do, and I'm still working on this? I have learned sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut and turn that, what you were getting ready to unleash on somebody else, back on yourself.
Amen.
You see, when you do that, then you sort of back off where you were going. You see, it's human nature. It's our earthly nature to play God. And so you know, and by the way, sometimes it's subtle, but I submit to you as ungodly, because men and women, boys and girls, have judged other people wrongly, caused people to commit suicide, caused people to have a less than a good feeling about themselves. Come on with me.
To,
just to elevate that who made you God in us.
Mm.
You see, we have to make certain that we don't fall into that devilish trap.
Amen.
So one of the things we can do is that whenever we get ready to fix our mouth to jump on someone else, we need to stop and introspectively look at our own self. And I submit to you that this word is true, that when you look at yourself, you will have to stop looking at your brother, because you and I have the same problem, the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says there was only one who was righteous that walked this earth, and his name was Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us have that position to be in. Brother, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. I remember one week, one of us, I don't remember who, said that, well, maybe you have to go to clubs so you can help the people in the club. And I submit to you, that's a good way to get caught up in this kingdom. You know how it works, and that's what this text is talking about. You go sitting there and say, oh, I'm going to hand out tracts, and the waitress comes up and says, what are you drinking? And you say, I'll take a soda. And she say again, what are you drinking? Because we have a cover charge. And see, well, give me a scotch and water. And then you get that one, and next thing you know, you want another one. And now the tracks, they done gone by the wayside. Oh, y'all might as well say amen. You might as well say amen. You know, you and I must be careful about these traps that the Satan sets on us. You know, y'all folks who still work regular jobs, you got to be careful, because you can go to work and get more attention than you get at home. Y'all walk with me now. And then the next thing you know, that we're just friends. There's nothing to it. And then next thing you know, you become real friends. And then you become kissing friends. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So we find that we must at all times keep that in perspective, and that way we find ourselves not entrapped by the devil. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, church, when we judge without mercy and love, we are outside of the bounds of the Lord's teachings.
Amen.
See, judge harshly and self-righteous, and that self-righteous is one that really gets my goat. You see, whenever you hear a self-righteous person, you know that they're outside of the line. Let me help you with this a little bit. I told you early on in this sermon that one of the teachings is that we should be humble and meek, and we should consider others more important than ourselves. I want you to just take a little exercise, just alongside your Bible, to put a little listen to communication. And then make a little tick mark every time you hear somebody in our church or other church commit their, confess their sins to one another. We ain't supposed to do that? The scripture says we ought to do what? Confess our sins to one another. Amen, lights.
Amen.
I try to set the example. I'll be the first to tell you I'm a low-down, dirty buzzard. But I'm saved by his mercy and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't have time to be worrying about the speck in my brother's eye when I got to deal with this log in my own mind and in my own thoughts and my own speech. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You see, when you start looking at just how filthy you are and I see how filthy I am, I find it amusing when somebody is self-righteous. And without mercy, you know they get they're merciless. You can spot them. No matter what you do, you've never done enough. You're still wrong. You can give them all your money, but they want more. And what's your motive? Listen to this foolishness on television. And you'll see this matter judging so clearly. This merciless don't have any mercy on you. Just do and give me what I want. Somebody should be able to say amen.
Amen.
These people cause others to stumble because people look at them and say, I thought they were Christians. I stop by to tell you that you and I must correct that myth. Christians are humble and meek people. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Christians are the type that allow the state to take 436 children and did not take up arms against them or do anything but ask God for his mercy, and he was merciful to give them back to him. Oh, y'all, come on, walk with me. 10 children were murdered in the Amish country by a deranged individual, and not one time did I ever hear them say any words of harshness against them. 10 little girls were shot down. How quick we forget that the Bible said we will be sent out as sheep for the slaughter. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 and 37 says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Hallelujah. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Listen to this warning in James chapter 2, verse 13. Because judgment without mercy will show to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy trumps over judgment. So our goal is to be merciful, to be humble and meek. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Not sit in judgment over people. If we make judgment without showing mercy, then no mercy will be shown to us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Just as Jesus said in verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I've lived long enough to see that happen. People that put others down and talk about them like a dog end up being put in the same position. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Jesus implies that there are times when we must make judgment, and I've covered most of them, but one is that we must be correct in our own faults. First, we must remove the beam from our own eyes. And I submit to you that that is a long, fat beam.
Mm-hmm.
When we have done so, we are able to see. And let me help you with that. You know, when you have done wrong and then God shows you the light of your wrongness, it's easy to have compassion on someone who's trying to find that way. You know, that's why I believe God uses scoundrels to do his work. That's why I believe he uses scoundrels, because they can relate to people who are struggling. He don't use self-righteous people, because they ain't never did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I believe God uses people that can say, I know I did that. You know, no, you did. You didn't do that, did you? Yes, I did. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And when we set up ourselves up as God, that we have done nothing wrong, and we always got our eye on our brother, I submit to you, we're ungodly, and we'll stand accountable for it. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brother, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Again, we caution that we are to watch ourselves, or we might fall into that same trap. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We must judge between those who are worthy and those who are hogs and swines. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 26 says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, we must be kind to one another. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Able to teach and not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to his will. Church, I submit to you that the word is clear about this. We have got to help. You know, church, we sit in a time when the devil is running rampant in this culture. You know, he ain't about God's work, and those who follow him are not about it. Can I get a witness? Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 through 15 says, as you enter the home, and this is what you do to those swines and those who are outside of that. As you enter their home, give it your greetings. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest in it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave the home or town. I tell you the truth, it would be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Did you get that? When you and I speak these oracles of faith, you must evaluate if the person that you're speaking them to are hearing them, and if they laugh and mock at you, which they will, you shake the dust off your feet. And every grain of dust that falls will be charged against them in the kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We bring this to a close in Acts chapter 13, verse 42 through 46. As Paul and Barabbas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further on these things in the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barabbas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy. This mess is going on TV. You can see that clear as a bell. Talking abrasively against Paul, what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barabbas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. And that was a turning point for us. That those who should have been listening were not listening, and so God turned it to where those who did not know it, he granted them his grace.
Amen.
And that's us who sit this morning. So as I bring this to a close, I want you to take seriously this matter of judgment. You see, the kind of judging that is forbidden by Jesus is self-righteous, hypocritical judging, which is false and calls down God's judgment on yourself. This is the kind of judgment that was also condemned by James when he wrote, "Do not speak evil of one another, brother. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and of the judgment of the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, hallelujah, who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Church, may God help us to refrain from such judgments, and more aptly to remove the beams from our eyes, and then we'll be clear to help others. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
In closing, I want you to hear the scripture that tells you clearly the danger of judging others. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. I ask that you bear with me as I read it, and I assure you, after I finish, it's prayer time. "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge others, you are condemning yourselves, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth." Can I get a witness? "So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Verse 5, "Because of your stubbornness and your unrepented heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who persist in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality. He will give eternal life," hallelujah. "But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but as those who obey the law, who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, they are law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are right written on their hearts, their consciousness also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending themselves. This will take place on the day when God will judge man's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we've heard you speak clearly about this matter, a hypocritical judgment. Help us, Lord, as a congregation, as your people, to not sit in judgment on others, but look at the log in our own eye and focus on getting right with you. We pray your blessings on each one who has heard this word, that you will give them the power by the power of your Holy Spirit to heed your word. I pray these blessings in the powerful and the only name that's above all names, and that's at the name of Jesus, our
amen.
Lord. Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. As we prepare our hearts for communion, we're coming up on exactly 1 hour. Give God the glory.
Amen.
If you have your communion, and by the way, we will be sending out a new batch of the communion cups and the wafers. You prepare your hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us, and we've heard this before, why we must do this, and as often as we must do it. It does not give us a number of dates. It says, as often as you do this in remembrance of him, him being our Lord and our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If, once everybody's got their communion ready, just signify by saying amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Lord God, we ask now that you bless each wafer and each cup that we have, that you sanctify it, that it will be used as you intended it to be used, that we are being obedient out of your command, that as often as we do this in remembrance of you. Church, let us commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Father, we ask for your mercy and for your grace. We ask in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. After the supper, as you well know, he took the cup which signified and represented his blood that was shared for us. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord God, we pray for your mercy and for your peace. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Dwayne, could you get that offertory? We had a little right there. Amen. Right there. The basket. Thank you, Lord. Trustee Reeves will now cover our offertory.
Last Sunday, we collected $450. So far for May, well, I guess for the total month of May, we collected $498.
Amen. And
amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
And she's gathering up what was in there today. We give God the glory that he is blessing this church, that we can do outreach. Amen.
Amen.
And while Mimi's putting that together, I encourage you to invite others on the call. I wanted to acknowledge Brother Wayne, who's been ministering to our brother. And I do that, hopefully I'm not embarrassing him in any way, but to give God the glory that he has moved Wayne to the point where he's reaching out ministering to people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
We give God the glory for that because all of us are ministers. We should all be ministering to people. So I pray that God will continue to use us in that vein. And one way that we can do it is very simply by finding out or giving a list of people we can send these CDs to. We've fallen way behind on that. We got 4 permanent ones now. We need more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And we'll mail them out from here. You just get us the address where you want them to go to. Also, I encourage you to give people the church website. And the website address, just in case someone's listening or gets this recording, it's www.wogc, Word of God Church, with a dash, JCFORM, Julius C. Freeman Outreach Ministry, .com. You can go to that website and go to messages and listen at every sermon. Interesting to me, I think it's 3 pages of them now. We have some trouble with them loading them up the last 2 weeks, but hopefully they've resolved that. In addition, I want to give you the Bible study number, which is the same as the number you called in on. And this is for the benefit of those who get the tape. Every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., you dial into 916-233-3335, and then you'll be asked for a PIN number, which is 657652 pound. That's Sunday mornings at 10:30 and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Amen?
Amen.
And we also put out a daily devotional. And if you want to get your name on the list, send it to Word of God Church at comcast.net. All right, Mimi?
We collected $143 this Sunday.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you for the offerings that have been collected. We bless those who gave and those who have not to give. We ask now, Lord, that we will use this for the uplifting of your kingdom. There will be no foolishness or misuse, but all be used to your glory and honor. I pray these and all other blessings in the mighty name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look like Sister and Brother Lance, Mimi and Brother Lance go have to take all these goodies back home. All minds clear?
Amen.
Again, I ask that you keep each other in prayer and that you constantly pray for our nation, for our military, and for peace in the world. There's some troubled signs. We're in the hurricane season, and there's already one that's formed. And yesterday, and I believe today, we're on a tornado watch. And I ain't got no air. And it's hot. And if you were sitting here, you can see because my shirt looks like somebody put me in a swimming pool. All minds are clear. We ask God's blessing be upon you. Till we meet again. God bless you, and you are dismissed.
Bless you all.
Have a blessed
Sunday.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless you all. We love you.